Now today we want to read first of all from the book of the Psalms, Psalm 103, reading the first 14 verses of that psalm, and then turning also over to 1 Peter chapter 1, reading 3 verses there from verse 3 down to the end of the verse number 5. And I would encourage you, wherever you are listening in online, to turn up the scriptures with us, reading first of all from Psalm 103, and then moving on to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Let us hear the word of the Lord as we read it together today. Psalm 103 and the verse number 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He have not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far have he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. And then turning over to the New Testament book, 1 Peter chapter 1, and reading just from verses 3 to 5 of that chapter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Amen. We'll end our reading there. And the prayer is that God will bless this reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts today. Now, speaking to the believer in Christ, the hymn writer says, when upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord have done. And by those words, God's people are being encouraged to consider the blessings of God in their life, even in the time of trial. Indeed, there are many things that the Christian can thank God for. The believer in Christ can thank God for the wonder and the beauty of God's creation. They can thank God for health and strength, for family and friends, for food, for our homes, for employment. But then most importantly of all, the believer in Christ can thank the Lord for all their spiritual blessings that they have in Christ as their Savior. Indeed, this is what the psalmist David was doing there in Psalm 103. He was thanking the Lord for the great blessings of salvation in his life. And in verse 2 of that psalm, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. And this is what Peter also is doing as he writes to God's people in our Bible reading also from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. There again, Peter is thanking the Lord for the great blessings of salvation in the lives of God's people. And he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." And as Peter writes here to God's people in a time of trial and need, he encourages them here by reminding them about some of the great blessings that they have in and through the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And it is these same great blessings that belong to every believer in Christ that I want us to look at today. And in doing so, child of God, may you be encouraged afresh, even in your great Christian faith. You'll notice, first of all, here the blessing of the believer's spiritual birth. Look at verse 3 there of 1 Peter chapter 1. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy have begotten us again." You notice that word "begotten" there in the verse. It really means to be born. And it refers to the new birth of every child of God. Yes, it means that every child of God is one who is born again. Again, if you look there at verse number 3, that verse tells you how this new birth experience is all due to the mercy of God. It says there, "God, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again." And child of God, this is something you must ever praise God for in your life. Yes, it is because of God's abundant mercy that you have been born again of the Spirit of God. Now, if you look there at verse number 2 of the chapter, you'll see there that the new birth of the believer is something that involves every person of the triune Godhead. In fact, here is a great verse that proves to you the reality of the Trinity. Yes, it shows that there are three persons in the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all equal in power and in glory. That verse 2 of the chapter says, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied." You'll notice there at the beginning of verse number 2 that it says "elect according to the foreknowledge of God." That word "elect" simply means to choose. You think of how it is whenever there is a general election in our country. People vote and people choose whom they want to represent them in our parliament. Well, in eternity past, dear Christian, God in grace, he chose you even unto salvation. And that is why you're born again of the Spirit of God today. You think of the words of Christ in John chapter 15 and the verse number 16. There he is speaking to his own people and he says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." Again, if you look at verse 2 there of 1 Peter chapter 1, it speaks of sanctification of the Spirit. And that word "sanctification" simply means to be set apart. And child of God, by the regenerating power of God the Holy Ghost, you have been set apart unto God. In other words, you have been drawn to that place of repentance toward God and that place of saving faith and trust in Christ alone for salvation. Indeed, this is what the Lord himself was referring to in the Old Testament book of Hosea, chapter 11, and the verse number 4, when he speaks there to his own people, he says in that verse, "I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of a love." And God, by his Holy Spirit, dear believer, has drawn you to that place of repentance and that place of saving faith and trust in Christ alone for salvation. Yes, with the hymn writer you can say, he drew me and I followed on, charmed to confess that voice divine. Then again, if you look at verse number 2 there of 1 Peter chapter 1, you'll see that it also speaks of obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. And those words there really refer to Christ's great sacrifice on the cross of Calvary for sinners. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in the verse number 3, it says there that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. In other words, by his sacrifice as the sinless Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ made a way whereby God's wrath against our sin could be appeased and all our sins can be forgiven by God. Indeed, it is by trusting in this great sacrifice of Christ for salvation that you and I are saved. Think of what the Word of God says in Acts chapter 16 and the verse number 31. There it says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Let me say that if you are still unsaved, then you too must look by faith to Christ for salvation. Yes, you must depend upon his sacrifice alone for the salvation of your soul and the forgiveness of all of your sins. Yes, this is what it means to be born again. Describing those who are born again in John's Gospel chapter 1 and verse number 12 and 13. The Word of God says this, it says, "But as many as received him," that's Christ, "by faith, to them give he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Dear friend, those words make it very clear that unless you trust the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you can never be born again. Yes, the blessing of the believer's spiritual birth. But then secondly, I want you to notice here the blessing of the believer's hope. Look again at verse 3 of 1 Peter chapter 1. It speaks of the believer and says, "The believer is begotten again," it says, "unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Now, the fact that Christ rose again the third day after his death on the cross, it means, believer, that you have a lively hope. You have a living hope. Verse 19 of John's Gospel, chapter 14, the Word of God says of Christ, "Because he lives, we shall live also. And by the eternal life, the abundant life of the believer is linked to the resurrection of Christ from the dead." And that is why the resurrection of Christ from the dead is so important. For if Christ did not rise, then there is no hope for the Christian after this life. Indeed, Paul the Apostle highlights that solemn truth in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and the verse number 14. When he says, "If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith also is vain. But praise God, Christ has risen again the third day after his death." In Revelation chapter 1 and the verse number 18, he says, "I am alive forevermore." Therefore, child of God, because of the resurrection of Christ, you have a glorious hope in heaven before you. Look at how Peter describes that glorious hope in verse 4 here of 1 Peter chapter 1. He says, "There you have an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And heaven is where the souls of all God's people go at death. And heaven is also that place where the glorified bodies and the resurrected bodies of all God's people will go and be reunited with their souls at the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ in power and in great glory. You'll notice there in verse number 4 that mention is made of an inheritance. You think about that word. What is an inheritance? An inheritance is something that a person obtains by right. A son inherits his father's farm because he's been born into that particular family. And believer, you have an inheritance in heaven because you've been born again into God's family. Listen to what the Word of God says in Romans chapter 8, verse 17. It says, "And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ." Then you'll notice also there from verse 4 that our heavenly inheritance is something that is incorruptible. That means that heaven will never ruin. Heaven will never decay. It will never fade away. What a contrast there is between heaven and this world. In this world, everything is decaying. Everything is corrupting. When a new house is built, it's not long before the plaster of that new house soon begins to crack. That proves to you and I that nothing in this world lasts. It is fleeting. It is temporal. Speaking of the things of this world, the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and the verse number 18, it says, "The things which are seen are temporal." But this is not so with God's heaven. Verse 4 there of 1 Peter chapter 1 says, "It fadeth not away." Christian, remember this today, that heaven is your eternal home. It is your unchanging home, where you will partake of the great blessing of everlasting life. In verse 23 of Romans chapter 6, the Word of God says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You can look forward to everlasting life in glory through Christ. Then you'll notice also there in verse 4 how Peter also describes heaven as a place that is undefiled. And what does that mean? It means that heaven is a place of absolute purity, a place that is completely void of sin, a place that is completely empty of evil. In verse 27 of Revelation chapter 21, there the Word of God is describing heaven, and this is what it says. "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever work of an abomination or make of a lie." This is why heaven will be a place of eternal happiness and joy and peace for the believer. They'll be in heaven with Christ forevermore, in a place where there is no sin, no sickness, no death, no sorrow, no curse. "My speaking of heaven," the hymn writer says, "we're bound for the land of the pure and the holy, the home of the happy, the kingdom of love." Believer in Christ, you have in heaven a glorious hope. Keep this ever before you in the trials and in the battles of life. Let me say that if you are still unsaved, then you do not have the hope of heaven before you. But rather, after this life, hell awaits you should you die and go out of this world in your sin. Listen to the warning of the Word of God. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, it says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." The lake of fire is what awaits you should you leave this world unsaved in your sin. Let me make it abundantly clear. The Word of God makes it clear that if you are to be delivered from a lost eternity in hell, then now in time, you must trust the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to save you from your sins. But then notice finally here from 1 Peter, the blessing of the believer's preservation. Look at verse 5. There is 1 Peter chapter 1. It says, "Who are kept by the power of God, true faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And such words show that God is keeping all his people for glory. In other words, the believer in Christ can never be robbed of their salvation. They can never lose their salvation. This word kept is really a military word or term, but it means to guard or to protect in a military fashion. Believer, God will guard you and protect you and keep you so that you arrive safely in the glory of heaven. Indeed, highlighting the eternal security of all God's redeemed children. It has been said that no soldiers of Christ are ever lost, missing, or left on the battlefield of this world. Believer, think of the words of Christ in his great high priestly prayer. In John's Gospel, chapter 17, and the verse number 24. There Christ is praying for all his redeemed, saved, born again people. And this is what he says. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. And there Christ is praying for all his people to be safely gathered into the glory of heaven. And every prayer of Christ will always be answered. His prayers will always be answered by God. Again, you think of the words of Jude as he writes to God's people. In verse number 24, down at the end of that little book, it says this, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." There Jude speaks of the Lord not only saving but keeping his people unto heaven itself. You know, believer in Christ, if God were to allow you to be lost in hell, then I say this with reverence, he would cease to be God. And he would be one who would dishonor his word. But that can never happen. Because God is one who keeps his word. God is one who cannot lie. God is one who is forever the same. And Malachi chapter 4 and the verse number 6, he says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Look at what it says, dear believer, here in verse 5 of 1 Peter chapter 1. It says, "Believer, that you are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation." Believer in Christ, because of your eternal union with Christ, through faith in Christ, you can never be lost in hell. Your hope of heaven is secure. That's the teaching of the Bible. That's the teaching of the gospel. Your hope in heaven is secured by the redeeming blood of Christ shed upon the cross of Calvary. The Bible says that Christ has purchased eternal redemption for all of his people by the blood of the Lamb. Whenever D.L. Moody, that great evangelist of a bygone day, when it was on his deathbed, he said these words. He said, "Earth recedes, heaven opens for me. If this is death, it is sweet, there is no valley here. God is calling me and I must go. This is my triumph, this is my coronation day. It is glorious." Whenever he was facing that last great enemy of death, he was looking forward to heaven. Why? Because he was safe in the arms of Jesus. Likewise, child of God, you too are safe in the everlasting arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, in these days of great uncertainty, you can indeed, believer, look forward to the great certainty of heaven before you. Because as it says here in our reading today in verse number 5 of 1 Peter chapter 1, that you are kept by the power of God, true faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Thank you for joining with us today. I pray God's word will be a blessing to your heart. Believer in Christ, rejoice afresh in the great blessings that you have in the Lord. If you're a backslider, may you come back to the Lord today for restoration. If you're not saved even today, may you call upon the Lord for salvation. And know also the great hope of everlasting life through Christ as your Redeemer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for Thy presence with us around the Word of God today. And Lord, bless the reading and the preaching of Thy Word to every heart, to all who have listened, and indeed to all who will listen. Bless it to the strengthening of the saints of God, to the restoring of the backslider, to the saving of the lost. And Lord, in everything, may Christ be honored and glorified. For it is in His precious name that we do pray and do ask all these things. In the Savior's worthy and wonderful name, we give Thee thanks for all Thy mercies. Amen.